It's April 12th, 2023, 1711 hours. Welcome. This is Alan Parsons, Brother Up in Heaven. Ward Green with you here. These are some of the pictures of the damage done by the storm from the storm that began on the 5th of April and ended sometime before the 7th. The power was restored at 1802 hours on April 7th. Power went out at about 1350 hours on April 5th. Is that correct? Is it 1350 or was it? I think it was 1350, but I wrote it down. Let me check. April 5th. April 5th, 1351. A few minutes ago at 1351. So it was about 1350 that the power went out. And that was on the 5th of April. So this ice that formed on the trees was so heavy that it ripped the trees in half. At least some of them were ripped in half, literally. This tree here in the upper right is a different tree from the one in lower right. And that's a different tree from the one in the upper left. And that's, it's also, they're all different. The one in the lower left is different again. They're all different trees. I can't show all the damage. It's just, there was more than I could fit on the screen, but that's it. For a brief summary of what was some of the damage, this song, Brother Up in Heaven, it is one that is of the type that inspires me to want to write a song immediately. When I hear that song, I want to write a song. The only requirement for writing a song is that you have to believe that you can do something that no one else has done. That's the crucial aspect. There's no point in writing a new song if you can't do something that no one else has done. So, but this particular song could be used as the basis for inspiration for writing a song. In my mind, it inspires me in so many different ways. It inspires me lyrically, but it inspires me musically at the same time. So I wouldn't copy any of it, but I would use it for inspiration. I could draw upon it very, very strongly in my emotions. It affects my emotions very strongly. And so it's a wonderful example of a song anyone could choose to use as inspiration for writing their own song. And I mean, everything of any great work of art, I believe, needs some inspiration. It's got to come from somewhere. This song here, but then again, I'm not saying one song is enough either. It's not necessarily enough to have one song. It might be inspired by a multiple or a multitude of songs, or a group of songs, or several songs that are, they wouldn't have to be similar either, but they could be, and they could come together to inspire the music, perhaps, or even the idea behind the song could be inspired by these particular musical compositions that are already in existence. And that's really, I believe, the way that songs are, at least in my case, inspired. I don't get inspiration out of nowhere, but I could sit down at the piano, let's say. Perhaps I could just play, and that I could definitely get inspiration from that. However, having heard other music, it's always in my head, the music that I've heard, the music in my life that I've already been exposed to, is going to be playing in my head or somewhere in the back of my mind also. So what we've never heard before, if we'd never heard music before, we wouldn't understand that we can use our voice in the way that some musicians or some singers use their voices. And, you know, they might use the upper register of their voice, the very highest register of their voice, and sing in the falsetto. Or they might, you know, use, in some cases, for some parts of the song, the lower register. And we can learn how they use their voice. And if they're from a different country, they might have a different accent. And they might sing with that accent. And that might also be something that we utilize in terms of, it might influence our choice of accent when we're singing, too. So today's study, little children, from Wild Road. First of all, I'd like to review yesterday where I made a comment, and I was incorrect when I said that I'd made a mistake. It says the first 15 kings of the Sophic cycle, but that's according to the old chronicle, The old chronicle was giving the idea of the first 15 kings. That's where it came from. So there were 25 kings in the Sothic cycle that added up to 700 years, but there are 15 kings. The first 15 kings of the Sothic cycle add up to 395 years, and that's where that came from. And when we go to the book Manetho, an English translation by Waddell, I'm not actually on the page. Here it is. Now, that was quite a blessing from Jehovah that he allowed me to find the page. So right here, we see that there is a mention here. Of the 700 years belonging to 25 kings in the book of Sothis, it mentions that number. Let's see if we can get it to appear. There we go. 25 kings belong, 700 years belonging to 25 kings. But before the book of Sothis appears in the book here, the old chronicle was also registered as part of this book in the previous appendix, Appendix 3. And it's there that we see it's called 15 generations in the old chronicle. It says 15 generations. 15 generations of the Sothic cycle are recorded with 443 years. But it appears to mean, or possibly means, the first 15 kings, not generations. So if we go to the bottom, the footnote, which is footnote number 1, and let's get this done quickly. This is a research homework assignment for anyone who wants to prove this to themselves. This total comes not from the Book of Sothis, which gives 395 for the first 15. There it says. So, and I added them up. And that's your homework also, is to take the numbers here in the Book of Sothis, these kings. If you look at the number of years for each king and add them up for the first 15, 35 plus 63 plus 34, I've done it. You can do it. The first 15 all added up give a total of 395 years. Whereas, when we look at the old chronicle, it says 15 generations of the Sothic cycle are recorded for 443 years, which is a different number by 48 years. That's the discrepancy, okay, between the two records. That's what we were talking about here in yesterday's study in chapter 6, paragraph 5. So today's study is chapter 6, paragraph 6, and you can, if you want to reread paragraph 5, you can. It's very involved and detailed and complicated, and it's not something that we need to be using every day in our, thinking about every day. It's just it's something that helps us to understand or to try. It's the beginning. As I said before, we're early. It's early in our understanding of trying to figure out what happened at the Tower of Babel. We're trying to figure out the chronology, and it's not easy. So, chapter 6, paragraph 6. Little children, when the 6 years of Nimrod are subtracted from 228 for Egypt's dynasty 1 of Eusebius, 222 years remain to subtract from 2738 or 2739, leaving 2516 or 2517, from which 215 years of Arabian kings give 2302 or 2301 BCE for the start of the dynasty of Akkad as given above. In other words, we talked about this before in terms of the start of the Arabian kings, and also the start of the dynasty of Akkad. These 222 years compare favorably with the 224 years for the first Babylonian dynasty, also given as 190 as discussed above, with a 34-year discrepancy attributed to the time between the phoenix start and tower start, although in the revised dating it's more complicated. Hoping for a simpler solution, we note that as the BOS gave the dispersion, that's the Book of Sothis, gave the dispersion as occurring in the 34th year of Arpachshad, there should be another 9 or more years to add to the 33 years to arrive at 42 years for the tower. A period of 9 years to add to the death of Shem in 2780. This only raises the phoenix higher to 2789, making a difference of 82 years from 2789 to 2707, and compares to 67 years from 2774 to 2707, where the 42 years from 2749 to 2707 formerly were tower building years, while the 34-year discrepancy was from 2741 to 2707 before. Thus, the tower looks to have been from 2786 to 2744, and the 3 years from 2744 to 2741, the gradual cessation of the tower building, and 6 years, 2744 to 2738, of rain. From 2786 to 2741 is thus a 45-year period for Babel's tower construction. Tower construction, with the dispersion falling in the 42nd year, 2745, or after 42 full years, 2744. So this is all mental gesticulating. It's all an attempt to understand what could be happening during the century in which the Tower of Babel was being constructed with regard to what the chronology was. But none of this is really compelling. I would say it's merely an attempt to include some of the ideas that haven't yet been considered. So it's just an attempt to be inclusive of all the possible theories, or at least some of the other theories. But a note that I made yesterday is if we take 2780, the death of Shem, we go to Manetho first of all. Let's go to Manetho. And when we look at Manetho and we see the first king of Dynasty 1, in Eusebius, he has 30 years. So if we take the beginning of the reign of Yandi in about 2738, or just a little bit different from that, we have 2738 minus the 30 years of Menes here, and also subtract the 27 years, that gives us 2738 minus 30 minus 27, which is 2681. 2681 is the beginning of the Old Kingdom Egypt, which would be right at the end of the reign of Athothis, or Thoth, which makes good sense, I think, in our understanding of the idea that Nimrod was replaced by Thoth, or that Menes was replaced by Thoth, or succeeded by Thoth. And then Egypt began, whereas this is actually considered to be part of the first dynasty of Egypt. But all in Manetho's account. But it's part of Egypt because we know that Egypt came out of Shinar. It was very much closely related to what happened at the Tower of Babel. So, at least that's what we certainly have found. in all of our studies. So, I mean, we'll have to read all the articles to see that, and we'll have to see if there are no other sources to give us any other indications so far. But we remain open to the possibilities that there's something we're missing, of course, but that's the best we have. So it looks like Old Kingdom Egypt began really on the third king of this list. But the other way we can subtract is we can say, let's look over here in Julius Africanus. Take the 57 years of Athothis. And if we take 2780 again, in this case, take 2780, the death of Shem. 2780 as the beginning of the Tower of Babel. And then we take 42 years for the construction of the Tower of Babel. 2780 minus 42. I apologize, I don't have this written down, but I'm just going to read it. 2780 minus 42 minus 57. That also gives us the same exact 2681 BCE for the beginning of Old Kingdom Egypt. So it works perfectly either way with either of these sources from Manetho. In the second example, we're just ignoring Menes 62. If we added 62 back, right, onto 27, and also 2780 minus 42, by the way, that is 2738. It's the other number we use to start for the starting point for subtracting 30 and 27. So it's a really good possibility, but it's still, no matter how many times we do this, we could do this 100 times in terms of trying to recalculate, and we'd still get better answers because we're so new at this, because it's such ancient history. For us, it's new because we've never seen this before. So it works really well that way. It looks like 2780 and 2738 being the two starting points. If we want to do it, two different ways of calculating it, we can start at either point. We just use the appropriate numbers in either case. But because 2681 is the generally accepted start of Old Kingdom Egypt, let's just put it that way. If we want to use that as a starting, or as our ending point in this case, but we're using it in a way as a starting point because we're trying to make our calculation come out to that number. So 2681 is the result, and we either get it by 2738 minus 30 minus 27, or 2780 minus 42 minus 57. Both of them lead to the same result. So what happens if we say, what if we add 62 years to 2738? That's one question. We add 62 years to 2738, we get 2800, actually. So that doesn't seem to be all that useful. So the 62 comes apparently from some other idea. If we say 2780 minus 62, that would give us 2718, you see. We can do that all day long. We can try different combinations and see if it makes any sense and see if it reduces to some simple formula or some simple idea for understanding. If we can reduce things to a simple form, we can understand it and we can believe it's true much more easily if it's a simple form. That's called Occam's razor. We want the simplest explanation that can account for all the facts. That's what we're looking for. So that's it for today's study. Today's paragraph was not particularly... Here it is. Look, below we argue for the 42 years starting in the year 2780 in the footnote, or ending in 2738. So that's what we just talked about just now, too. We said 2780 minus 42 gets us to 2738, and then we can use either the numbers of Eusebius or Africanus from Manetho, depending on what our starting point is. So that's all for today for that study. And now, little children, Genesis chapter. Oh, I've got a proverb somewhere written down here. When I'm lying in bed at night, I'm very tired and I'm sleepy, and I think of a proverb and I want to write it down, but I'm too tired. And I know if I get my pen and open my book and turn on the light and write it down, I won't get to sleep as quickly. So I don't write it down, and then I forget what that proverb was. Oh, right. Okay. So, yes. Oh, I think, yeah, I had two proverb ideas. Right. Yeah, right. I think I'll go with one of those. Let's see if I can get that here. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, "All that your hand finds to do, do with your very power. For there is no work, nor devising, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, the place to which you are going." And that's a very appropriate idea, considering what we just talked about, that we're trying everything we can to analyze the chronology of ancient times. We're trying all the possible ways of adding up the numbers. We're trying everything. We're doing everything that our hand finds to do, because we know we won't have another chance once we die, and are in this system of things, we all die. And once we've died, there is no possibility to do any more. So we need to do it now. Now our reading for today from Genesis chapter 43. We recall from yesterday that Joseph sent his brothers back to Jacob, and Jacob was greatly distressed that the Egyptian ruler had demanded that Joseph's brothers bring Benjamin with them when they came back to Egypt. And of course, Joseph was himself that Egyptian ruler who demanded it. And Jacob said, if Benjamin should die, then of course that would be a very severe tragedy, because it would cause Jacob himself to be brought down to the grave with gray hairs and with grief. With grief because of his son Benjamin. So he didn't want to send Benjamin. And the famine was severe in the land, chapter 43. And it came about that as soon as they had finished eating up the cereals they had brought from Egypt, their father proceeded to say to them, "Return, buy a little food for us." Then Judah said to him, "The man unmistakably bore witness to us, saying, 'You must not see my face again unless your brother is with you.' If you are sending our brother with us, we are willing to go down and buy food for you. But if you are not sending him, we shall not go down, because the man did say to us, 'You must not see my face again unless your brother is with you.'" And Israel exclaimed, "Why did you have to do harm to me by telling the man you had another brother?" At this they said, "The man directly inquired concerning us and our relatives, saying, 'Is your father yet alive? Do you have another brother?' And we went on to tell him according to these facts. How could we know for certain that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" Finally, Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy with me, that we may get up and go, and that we may keep alive and not die off, both we and our little children." I shall be the one to be surety for him. Out of my hand you may exact the penalty for him. If I fail to bring him to you and present him to you, then I shall have sinned against you for all time. But if we had not lingered around, we should by now have been there and back these two times. So Israel, their father, said to them, if then that is the case, do this. Take the finest products of the land and your receptacles and carry them down to the man as a gift, a little balsam and a little honey, labdanum and resinous bark, pistachio nuts and almonds. Also, take double the money in your hand, and the money that was returned in the mouth of your bags you will take back in your hand. Maybe it was a mistake. And take your brother and get up, return to the man. And may God Almighty give you pity before the man, that he may certainly release to you your other brother and Benjamin. But I, in case I must be bereaved, I shall certainly be bereaved. Accordingly, the men took this gift, and they took double the money in their hand and Benjamin. Then they rose and went their way down to Egypt and got to stand before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he at once said to the man who was over his house, take the men to the house and slaughter animals and make preparation, because the men are to eat with me at noon. Immediately the man did just as Joseph had said. So the man took the men to Joseph's house, but the men got afraid because they had been taken to Joseph's house, and they began to say, it is because of the money that went back with us in our bags at the start that we are being brought here for them to fall upon us and attack us and to take us for slaves and also our asses. Hence they approached the man who was over Joseph's house and spoke to him at the entrance of the house, and they said, excuse us, my lord. We surely did come down at the start to buy food. But what occurred was that when we came to the lodging place and began opening our bags, why, here was the money of each one in the mouth of his bag, our money in full weight. So we would like to return it with our own hands, and more money we have brought down in our hands to buy food. We certainly do not know who placed our money in our bags. Then he said, it is all right with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father gave you treasure in your bags. Your money came first to me. After that, he brought out Simeon to them. Then the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave water that they might have their feet washed. And he gave fodder for their asses. And they proceeded to get the gift ready for Joseph's coming at noon. Because they had heard that it was there, they were going to eat bread. When Joseph went on into the house, then they brought the gift that was in their hand to him into the house and prostrated themselves to him to the earth. After this, he inquired whether they were getting along well and said, is your father, the aged man of whom you have spoken, getting along well? Is he still alive? To this they said, your servant, our father, is getting along well. He is still alive. Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves. When he raised his eyes and saw Benjamin, his brother, the son of his mother, he went on to say, is this your brother, the youngest one of whom you have spoken to me? And he added, may God show you his favor, my son. Joseph was now in a hurry, because his inward emotions were excited toward his brother. So that he looked for a place to weep and went into an interior room and gave way to tears there. After that, he washed his face and went out and kept control of himself and said, set on the meal. And they proceeded to set it on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians who were eating with him by themselves. For the Egyptians were not able to eat a meal with the Hebrews, because that is a detestable thing to the Hebrews. And they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his right as firstborn, and the youngest according to his youngness. And the men kept looking at one another in amazement, and he kept having portions carried from before him to them. But he would increase Benjamin's portion 5 times the size of the portions of all the others. So they continued banqueting and drinking with him to the full. That's the end of Genesis chapter 43. So the plot thickens here. In Genesis, the account of Joseph as the ruler of all of Egypt and his brothers, having now come along with Benjamin to receive some more of their ration during the famine to be able to survive. During the severe famine that had afflicted all the land, including Canaan, all lands, not just Egypt, were affected by this famine. So that's it for today's study. It's April 12th, 2023, 1746 hours. And on behalf, well, it's Ward Green here. I love you very much. I'm glad you were with us today. I hope we see you again, and have a lovely day. God bless you. Seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Remember Jesus, his ransom, and the miracles he performed when he performed healing during his ministry. And on behalf of Ward Green, me, myself, it's Liv Dusty and Moppy saying bye for now.